Welcome to Clarity Fund Podcast. This is Dr. Owen Anderson, and I'm with Dr. Kelly Burton, and we're continuing a series we started. We did a series on advice to young philosophers, and we're continuing in a similar idea about the purpose of the academy, because we've both been in the academy for a few decades now, back from when we started our undergraduate education up to the present, when we're both philosophy professors. And so we're wondering, what is the purpose of the academy? Thanks for being with us, Dr. Burton.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Have you noticed this question coming up?
I have, and I've been thinking about it myself. I think it's a popular question right now.
Yeah, and it can be put in a number of ways, right? So someone might wonder what the purpose of it is in the sense of, what do you get out of it? So do you go to college, you spend tens of thousands of dollars to get what? And the story used to be you'd get a job, but that may or may not be true.
Yeah. And I think we should maybe put into this discussion, now we have this context of the pandemic and people are going to college online, and I think that makes the question even more pointed. Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Right. So then if you have to keep the story going that, well, you're doing it because you will get a better job when you're done, which again,
yes,
that might be true. There might be jobs you can get without the college degree. But even then, it becomes a kind of work training, job training.
Right.
And I think you and I are both thinking about the academy in a broader sense, really going back to the academy founded by Plato and the pursuit of the idea of the good. What
right.
is our highest good? So a job doesn't get us there. A job just gets us money. But money is at best a means to something else. So as we think about this question, what is the purpose of the academy? It really raises the question that was there from the beginning of the academy, which is, what is our highest good?
Yes. Do you see that question even coming into the conversation right now?
Well, I remember in our previous episodes, I did talk about how that was one of the very first questions that was put to me in my college education. But I don't see it really to be a very common question that people are asking. And one way I know that is when I ask people that question, they get a kind of confused look on their face. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I do too. And I also wonder why people go into the fields that they go into in terms of getting a job. Is it just to make money and, I don't know what, get more comfort?
Yeah, maybe there's a kind of quick equation people work with, which is, what kinds of things do I like? What job will overlap the most with what I like and have the least amount of suffering with the most amount of money? And so you have an equation, that you do something like that in your mind, maybe somewhat consciously, somewhat unconsciously, and you pick one of the majors.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think maybe some people think about making the world a better place. How can I make money and make the world a better place? Whatever
yeah.
that might mean.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's talk about that, because I wonder if that's what the purpose of education is. The purpose of the academy is to make the world a better place, which still gives us to that question, what is the good, right? Because
yeah.
better is just one of the forms of the word good. You want to make it more good.
Yeah.
So in order to make the world a better place, what does it mean for the world to be a better place?
Yeah, in a better place in light of what interpretive framework? And that brings us back to education again.
Yeah, so I'm expecting or assuming that you've probably been encountering some of the different interpretive frameworks that are being presented as the academy.
Yes, I have been.
And we might talk about them. You mentioned the pandemic and some of the turmoil in society right now and how that raises questions about the purpose of the academy. And it seems like one of the things the academy is used for is used to advance ideas about how to deal with that turmoil.
Yes, ideas. That's the key word here. I had this, I don't know, maybe we even had this experience where the academy was about the intellectual life. Maybe I was just imagining it that way, but it doesn't seem like that's what's being emphasized now.
Well, maybe tell us what you mean by the intellectual life.
Like being exposed to the world of ideas and how ideas challenge you personally and how ideas have challenged one another historically. I know this is probably not cool, but I'm a student of the great books and so are you. And we talk about a great conversation. And the conversation is necessarily about ideas. Yeah. I'm thinking those things are out of favor now.
Yeah, no. So that's good. Noticing the intellectual life involves noticing the beliefs undergirding how people live.
Yes.
And then being able to think critically about those.
Yes.
And to think critically doesn't mean to think negatively. It might think critically means you think bad things about it. No, it means you're able to test them to see if they're meaningful and if they're true, because not every belief is meaningful or true.
Right.
And the reason why I asked you about the intellectual life is I have this picture of an Oxford Don he has his robe on and he has spectacles on and he's carrying a copy of Plato.
Yeah.
And I think and Oxford is a beautiful place that you feel separate from the rest of the world. And I wonder if that might be a view of the academy which people are against, which is that you go, it's kind of a monastic place.
Yeah.
You go, you withdraw from the world, you're in a very picturesque, beautiful area, and you study Plato's eternal forms. And you don't really contribute anything at all to the world.
Well, don't we sort of want to capture that a little bit with the college experience? I think this is maybe why people go away to college, to have, I don't know, an experience. I never had the opportunity to go away. Maybe for a few summers I did, but you have a concentration, a time where you get to think, and then you're formed and you go back to the world. But yeah. The Oxford Don makes a whole lifestyle out of this, right?
Well, that, and I wonder, it particularly important that he's carrying Plato, because I wonder if what the picture you just gave, let's call it, it sounds like seminary kind of, because you're going to go back into the world and do something.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it almost seems like the criticism, let's say a Marxist criticism of Plato, is that you're just otherworldly, you're living in that eternal realm, and you don't have anything to contribute to this social world. And so I think that might be one of the criticisms of that, let's call that the Platonic Academy. And the current Academy might say, no, we're going to actually make a difference, or we're going to do things.
Right. And that's more activist. We're going to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
I don't know why we couldn't do both.
Well, particularly the one you described, we're going away to be formed to come back ready for action.
Yeah.
Work.
Right.
You could do that, and that would make the world a better place. So then the question is, what is it that makes the world a better place? Now, it's interesting that was really Plato's concern too. In his book, The Republic.
Yeah.
What is a good society? In order to figure out what justice is, he wanted to figure out what is a just society, because then you know from there you could determine what is a just person. And so this revolved around knowing what is good. In order to know what is just, you'd have to know what is good. And that seems to still be with us.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Problem of what is good.
I don't think it's going to go away until we've... well, settled it.
Well, we have epistemological challenges, right? Where I think that might be what we especially see going on in the challenge of the academy, which is how do we know?
Yes.
What's the basis for authority? Maybe that's a term that resonates more with people than the word or the question, how do I know, is by what authority will you do these things? What
right.
authority do you listen to?
Right. And the authority, I don't know, I like to think the authority is reason, and reason, there are many people who claim to have reason, and that's where the history of ideas comes in, where there are claims made in the name of reason, and we can use reason to examine them to see, are they actually according to reason? But somehow reason itself has been undermined, so we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, or it's dismissed because, it might be seen as platonic and unhelpful to this world. And instead, we need to just do things. The time for talking is over. The time for action is here.
Yeah, but again, that's coming back to the good that you were talking about. Action for what goal?
Yeah.
What are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Well, and I wonder if we might pick a certain thing we want to do. There might be 10 or 12 things we could list of areas of human life where you could make them better. But that doesn't yet get us to what is the good. It just gets to many different areas of goods.
Yes.
And we're not yet to what unites them. We might be doing that forever because you might go from 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 to 100 things you need to improve. But you've kept yourself busy, but you haven't yet really understood what makes human life better.
Yeah, and that's the conversation that needs to take place in the academy.
Now, what do you think? I wonder, what is the foundation of the academy? I was sharing with you earlier that I've been doing some reading on the early academy. And broadly speaking, it had two parts, the old academy and the new academy.
Tell us a little about that, what you're thinking there, because I have some holes in my education in that after Plato to the modern period is a huge area that I need to fill in what happens with the academy.
Yeah, so this is the ancient one in the classical world before it was destroyed by the Roman general Sulla. So he put an end to Athens and destroyed the academy. But roughly speaking, you can divide it up in those two, the old academy and the new academy. And they're characterized by the old academy got involved in metaphysical speculation and interested in the nature of, let's say, for example, numbers and the forms. Okay. And ended up in a kind of skepticism. So the new academy wanted to bypass that and get back to the method of Socrates. And that method was where you question other people on their terms. And you don't get into things that you don't know. Just stick with this question that you can know. But that also ends up in a kind of skepticism. Socrates doesn't really ever establish his own view. He just questions others. So the academy ends up in skepticism, which is why we have that term academic skepticism. And the goal seemed to be to show when someone claims to know that they don't know, but then you don't ever have anything to replace it with. You don't have knowledge to put in its place. And that seems to me similar to what goes on now. You'll have criticisms of other people's views, especially criticisms of fideism, people who blindly believe things.
Yeah.
And so a professor in the academy might want to enlighten their students and overcome fideism, blind belief. But what they offer in its place is skepticism. They don't have anything to put in its place, or they might end up, ironically, putting another kind of fideism in its place, another kind of blind belief.
Right.
So I'm wondering if the seeds were there from the beginning because there wasn't an actual foundation on things that are clear.
That's what I was going to ask you. What would you say the original foundation was, if there was one?
Yeah, well, you have either the rationalism of Plato, beginning with eternal forms. And then from there, you don't really have knowledge of anything in this world.
Okay.
Or the empiricism of Aristotle. And the highest good, interestingly, what unites them is that they have a kind of otherworldly good. The highest good is in contemplation in the next life. And the closest you can get to that in this life is to try to have that same kind of life of contemplation now. So we need to think about, what would be a lasting foundation? Yeah, those two parts. I described three parts. I described an epistemology, how we know, either Platonic rationalism or Aristotelian empiricism.
Yes.
And then a theory about what is real. And especially a dualistic one, where you have the eternal realm and the world of change. And then a theory of what is good, that the highest good is not in this life, is to be in the next life where you contemplate the eternal realm.
Yeah, and so if that's the foundation, you can see why it's rejected. And even into the modern period, they're going to reject various forms of Platonism and Aristotelianism.
Yeah, I think there'll be that's what we have to look at and see, is there what foundation of knowledge, if did Plato or did Aristotle in starting their schools get to what is clear to reason in order to give this life meaning?
No. No, and I think that's why we should not be surprised at the crumbling of the academy.
Yeah, the challenges to it. So you have a picture later of Cicero teaching in the ruins of the academy.
That's what I was envisioning. Tell us about that. That's what I had in mind.
Well, that's why I wonder if you have, it's almost like a metaphor of Rome. Rome living on certain kinds of duties, laws, in the ruins of Athens, but not having its own foundation on which to build. So it's building on the crumbling ruins of another place, and Cicero teaching there is a kind of picture of that. And so when I'm thinking about, what do we build on? What do we build the academy on? What foundation? It would have to be that some things are clear to reason. If nothing's clear to reason, then there's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah, well, you gave the alternative, skepticism or fideism, and those aren't foundations to build upon.
Yeah.
And now, here's something I want to ask you. I've been reading some other things, and a person suggested we have empiricism, rationalism, or dogmatism, or suicide. And they were endorsing dogmatism because it's the only thing that we can build upon. And I'm wondering, has clarity been tried anywhere? Is it true that dogmatism is the only place to build?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess someone might say, a skeptic might say, everyone thinks they start with what's clear, but it isn't. So that's true. It's not enough to think you're starting with what's clear. It would have to actually be clear.
Yeah.
And when you read through Aristotle, you'll see he often uses that phrase. It is clear that. It is clear that. He uses that all the time.
Yeah.
And people want to get to that. So, I mean, we want to get to what is clear. So that challenge is not enough to derail the point. Just because a lot of people might think they start with what's clear doesn't prove there isn't anything clear. It means that we got to make sure we do start there. And it certainly doesn't prove that nothing's clear.
Right.
So I think, has it been tried? I mean, I think you and I would go further. We would say something must be clear to reason. And we would give examples. For example, that something is eternal and that only God is eternal. So we would start to do that, not only that some things are clear, but give examples of what that is.
Right. And you can even back up and say there are things that are self-attesting that you can't deny, like the laws of thought. Start there. Yeah. That's, and then those give us the means of testing what is clear, and we could build from there.
Right.
And invite others to find something that's more clear.
Right. Well, that, and I think that's what you and I spoke about before, is beginning with common ground.
Yeah.
So what you and I are laying out is the foundation for the academy is common ground. And it's on that basis you're able to invite others to participate.
Yes.
Because
that's a really good point.
Because if someone denied that, if someone rejected that there is any common ground or rejected that anything is clear, then there'd be no basis for inviting us to do anything.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge, though, what you and I will probably be addressing in episodes going further from here is, sure, that stuff sounds kind of interesting, I guess, if you have free time. But we're in a point where we need to get things done. And maybe not all of us have the leisure to sit around talking about what is good and what is reason. We just need to get the world to be better.
Maybe.
And I think there's something to it. I mean, I think there's something to that, because there is the academic, the dusty old professor picture who has an answer. He kind of has a long-winded answer about everything. There's a caricature, right?
Right.
So, all right. Yeah, we do want to give answers which are clearly applicable to what we're doing. But we have to begin with asking what the problem even is. If we don't have the problem clearly in mind, then we're not going to be able to give an answer to it.
Right. And I think identifying the problem correctly takes time to think about.
Yeah. Right. So identifying the problem and then what you mentioned earlier, seeing, doing the work of critically thinking.
Yes.
To get before us what ideas are at stake. So someone who says, I just want to change things, may not be aware of their assumptions and what they think they mean by doing things better.
Yeah. And also, it may be that the problems that we're having, that we're struggling with, we're suffering under, are because we haven't thought it through, or we have, we lack a foundation. And maybe the suffering itself will get us to think about the problem better.
Yeah, that's interesting. The role that suffering plays, right?
Yeah.
Make us think.
I mean, I think we should recognize we're in this pandemic. It is a kind of suffering, and many of us are kind of in a timeout.
Yeah, I wrote about that, a worldwide timeout.
Yeah.
To stop and think.
Yeah.
It'd be too bad if you had a timeout and you didn't use it to stop and think.
Right.
So, how do we? I think you and I both want to make the world a better place.
I do.
So how do we do that? That'll be a good question for us as we think about building the academy. What is the purpose and goal of the academy?
Sounds like an exciting series.
Yeah, I'm glad we can do that together.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you.